a privilege and honor for a man to then to serve the Creator and the Savior, our Lord. I will tell you something that I have, apart from my wife, I have never told anybody else. That if you ask me a question about the most important thing in my life, and when I say more important, I mean that is superior to anything else that exists in a person's life, and in my life personally, is this moment. Not particularly this moment, I'm here today. But the moment when from the mouth and the mind that He has given me, I send out to people His truth. This is, so just so you know, this is the measure of my life. I don't want anything to interfere with this, anything else more important and more superior than the moment when I use my mouth and my brain to proclaim His truth. So the message I have prepared today is a result of a long time of meditations. And maybe, as you might have noticed, I am generally a quiet man. My character is I am an introverted person. Maybe you have noticed I don't say much, but I think a lot. And the message I have today, so just so you know, if I am quiet, it's not that I have a problem. It's just that this is my introverted character. So you are welcome always to talk to me, okay? I'm not unfriendly. I'm just quiet in my nature. So the message I have today is the result of a long meditation. Actually, it's some months. But even though when the days came near, I thought like I had forgotten everything. I want to lift up His name today, here in the midst of His church, in the midst of His people, through His word and through the gift that He has given me. I want to, as the message, the overall message of the letter of Hebrews, the epistle of Hebrews, is to bring people to Christ and to know who Christ is, and to help the Jewish Christians of the target church that the writer is sending the letter to fix their eyes upon Him, the solid rock, to strengthen their faith to the living hope. And as far as I know, maybe I'm wrong, but as far as I know, the letter of Hebrews is the only letter where Jesus is described as the anchor. He's the anchor of our soul. And something else that I have had in, I have thought and I have pondered in my meditations is this that I'm going to tell you right now, and you don't know that. I have been very encouraged and motivated and thankful for you. There have been many moments, but I want to point out two individual moments. You remember we had the potluck for Juanes some time ago. And I was sitting at the back of the room and I was thinking, this church is honoring God by honoring God's people. And that's what you generally do. You honor God's people, not only the commanded workers. You honor God by honoring His workers and His people. And I'm thinking that the more I know you, the more I love you. Another moment was when our brother talked about the martyrs in Ecuador, and I didn't know that Ed McCulley was and his father had this church as their home base. And I didn't know that Ed McCulley was commanded by this church. What is this? This is a tradition of obedience towards Him. A tradition of obedience to God, for His people to follow and to send people for the Great Commission. And the tradition continues, as far as I know, by doing God's will, by mirroring God's will. And I'm very thankful because there are many things to learn from you. But all these situations, all these stories, have a common meeting point or a common denominator. And that common denominator is Jesus Christ. He is the reason for everything that happens in church. And the writer of Hebrews is right. By the way, we still don't know who the writer is, but we know that the author is God. We don't know the hand, or probably we think of some hands, but we know that the author, the one that inspired and breathed the word to the writer of the letter, is him, is God. And he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So, Jesus is the starting point and the finish. This is Jesus. And he is urging them to fix their eyes on this person. The starting point, the author, and the finisher of our faith. He is the reason why we are here. He is the reason why we remember him every Sunday and every day in our lives. So, generally speaking, just to give a short general idea of a picture of Hebrews, he describes Jesus throughout, from the first chapter to the last one. Jesus is the focal point of this letter. And he compares and contrasts Jesus with whatever happened in the time of Old Testament. He describes Jesus as the high priest, and it's very meaningful, this word. And we see a timeline in the whole letter of Hebrews, in the 12 chapters, the 12 chapters, that Jesus is elevated as superior towards all other actions or traditions that people did in order to clean their sins. And Jesus is compared to, the writer compares to him to the blood of goats, to the blood of bulls. And he says that, well, Jesus is much more superior than that, than those. He compares it to the sacrifices, to the burnt offerings, and many other things that they did. And he says that Jesus is much, much more superior and elevated compared to these earthly human things to clean their sins. Furthermore, he goes on by saying that, and the reason why they were done, starting from the Leviticus and other parts of the Bible, was to give a picture or an idea of that everything you do, actually it's a mirror of that who was to come. And we know even from Exodus, the blood of the lamb that was put on their doors was actually a picture of who was to come, and that was Jesus. And then he says, I want to read this. He says that God spoke to us in various ways, but in the last days he has spoken to us through his Son. Okay, can we please read it? Because I don't want to, rephrase it. And it's first chapter of Hebrews, probably the first three verses. It's better to read than me, having to rephrase it. It says, the Epistle of Hebrews, chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3, probably. So it says, God, who at various times in various ways, spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. So God used prophets. has in these last days spoken again. He has spoken, but in a different way. Okay? In the last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he has made the worlds. Who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, I love this explanation, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. This is, I don't know if I need to use the word, but it's mind-blowing. That God used different ways in the past, but finally he knew that the answer was not the lambs, the goats, offerings, sacrifices, was his Son. Let me tell you a true story. From the time I was little to probably the eighth grade, we had a tradition in my family. Every Eid, I think it's called Eid al-Fitr in English, we slaughtered a lamb in my house. And I remember seeing the lamb and his blood, being slaughtered, and his blood coming out of his neck, sprinkling the... We had the tree there, and that's where we slaughtered him. This happened every year. And I remember one particular moment from that time, that I think I or my brother or my mom, I'm not sure, we asked our dad, we said, why don't we, go and buy meat in the shop rather than slaughter the lambs? Do you know what the answer was? The answer was this. No, because blood must be shed. Period. That's what the answer was. Now, our lamb is not a lamb anymore. Our lamb is Jesus, who shed his blood, not like the lamb, or the bulls, or the sacrifices, and other things, that they needed to be repeated yearly or periodically. Not exactly sure how often or the frequency, but they had to be repeated. Jesus, the author is saying, that is superior to them because his blood was shed once for all. No need to repeat that. So, Jesus is the Lamb of God and the author of the eternal salvation. And then the writer of Hebrews comes to a point to chapter 13 after he has said what he has said and has compared also Jesus to the high priest in the order of Melchizedek. He comes to a point when he says this, among other things in the chapter 13, by the way. And I want to read it, and then I just give a short comment. He says this, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, this is a very bold, very clear-cut, upfront statement describing Jesus's personality and character. It's about his immutability. He never changes. He is always the same. And when does the writer say this? He says that on chapter 13, the last chapter of the book, among other important things that he says concerning, marriage, welcoming, believers, thinking about honoring marriage, brotherly love, thinking about prisoners. And among this, he also gives this comment that Jesus Christ is, some versions do not have the verb is, they say Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it's right because probably that verb is not found in the Greek, in the original Testament. But anyway, the meaning is the same. It's not very important. And he says that in the last chapter because, generally speaking, any kind of writer wants to leave the final thoughts in the last part of any kind of composition that he makes. It can be a letter or whatever, an essay. The final chapter, the final part, we have the conclusion, we have a wrap-up, we have a summary that he wants to leave as a takeaway to the readers. And this is one of the takeaways that the writer deems as vital for the reader to take away. That Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it's not the only place in the Bible where you can find it. It's in various places. Also in the Old Testament, we have Malachi 3:6 that says, "I am Lord, I do not change." Direct speech, not through a writer or a hand, but direct speech. "I am Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob." And we know that Bible says, describes the personality of God by saying that God is a consuming fire. And if God says that you are not consumed, you are not consumed, and he doesn't change. And he does not change because he does not change. I wanted to mention that because it's a very, very short, very clear, coming out from God's mouth, "I do not change." So, if we make some observation, I just want to do that because I want to have to pay complete respect to the part, to the verse, to the book. First of all, the verse 13:8 says Jesus Christ is the same, not God is the same. Why? Would that make any difference? Not at all. Okay? We know that. No. But it's another indicator that the focus of the whole letter of Hebrews is on him. And it says, as we read in verse 1, that Jesus is the express image of his person. So when you see Jesus, you see God. So it's the same thing. Other versions, like I think ESV, say that he is the God's imprint. We see the imprint and we see God. And that imprint is Jesus. And that imprint is immutable. You know, we have that expression, like Father, like Son. When you talk about Jesus, it's more than that. It's an imprint. It's a seal. You see that and you say, well, this is God. It's the original imprint, the express image of him. And then, you know, analyzing the version that I have, NKJV, the verb is in italics because it, you know, probably it is not written in the original, but the meaning is the same. It's in the present. Even though he says Jesus is the same yesterday. What? Yesterday. It's in the past. But the verb is in the present. Why? Because it shows, one, attributes, and number two, personality. Not Jesus was. It's not Jesus was. Jesus has always been. And maybe you have read that, you have seen that book, There is No BC. There is no BC. There has never been a moment in the history of humankind when there was no Jesus. Or when that happened before Jesus, because Jesus existed before the beginning. We start with Genesis and then it says in the beginning God. So God has existed before the beginning. So there is no BC, as we write in our books and history and everything. Then it continues by saying yesterday, today, and forever. So yesterday would be before the beginning, today in the present time, and yesterday and tomorrow is in the future. Till he comes, till in eternity. And I like to say that these three words, yesterday, today, and forever, if we find another way to say, I would prefer to say, not because I want to change that, but just to better explain the meaning, Jesus Christ is the same eternally. Yesterday, today, and forever. The word same in the Greek language is something that is immutable, something that is fixed, something that we can rely on because it does not arbitrarily change its meaning or its attributes or his character. And we depend on, we rely, we put our lives on him because he is immutable, he is fixed, unchanging and unchangeable. So, dear brothers and sisters, our God is the same from everlasting to everlasting. And that person is your personal God, my personal God. Have you ever thought this? That when we meet Jesus, when there will be a time when we will meet him for sure, actually, we are meeting the person who was before the beginning, the person who created and who was at the Garden of Eden, who created Adam and Eve, the person who became a man, God who became a man, the person who created the whole system, the worlds, chapter 1, verse number 2, he created the worlds. He walked on this planet sometime in the past. This person stayed with the disciples, taught them, ate with them, surprised them in magnificent ways. This person walked on water. This person from Exodus opened the water that people walked on dry ground, the Israelites. This person was nailed on a tree. When we meet Jesus, we meet the person not only that was nailed on a tree, but the person who cried and said, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? When we meet Jesus, we are meeting the person who was raised on the third day. You know, a dead raising from the grave. The person who was taken up into heaven and now, as we speak, is sitting on the right hand of God. This is the person we are talking about. Can you believe that? And this person, you and me, are going to meet one day. Can you believe that? And to see him eye to eye, face to face? Really? Is that you? Yes. Exactly the same person. I don't know, I think God brought that you know, to my mind to share with you that the person we meet is the person we are talking about and we are going to meet is the same who did all things. Let me tell you a fact now. a fact, okay? This is not my opinion, it's a fact. From year 2022, Google, the world's biggest search engine, every year they make what they call Google in a year. And this year was no different, Google in, Google in a year 2022. What they feature was, what do people search more in this particular year? And I saw it like, you know, before, you know, I saw it in December, and then I've been seeing that, you know, because it, I thought, well, I would say that in the message, I would include that in the message. Now, listen to this. The most searched question in the Bible, in the Google, for the year 2022 was this: change. If you don't believe me, Google in the year 2022, you search it in Google again and you will see that. Change. Can I change my career? Can I change myself? Can I change my life? Can I change my outlook? Can I change my hairstyle? How can I change my hairstyle? This change, we are on the verge of a renaissance, the American, you know, pronunciation. Can I be original? It's not there, but maybe I don't want to include that, but I had another opinion. Maybe I tell you in private. But you know what I thought? It was not there, but I'm sure, okay? This is my opinion, you may disagree, it's fine, okay? But I'm sure that maybe some people have searched this, have asked this question: can I change my sex? It was not there, okay? My opinion, you may say no, I agree with you, okay? How do I read that? I read it like this: people are in search for identity. You may have a different opinion, it's fine, but the way I see it, when people say, can I change this and that and this and that and this, people are looking for their identity. And people in search for identity and not finding it. This is the problem. The world is changing, dear brothers and sisters. Some of us know it better than me. The world is changing, politically speaking, economically. Currencies are changing. Inflation is crazy. Technology is changing. You buy the latest iPhone, then after 6 months, it's old. Climate is changing. Global warming. Temperatures are rising. People are changing. Well, it's so overwhelming to keep up with this world. People are changing. Attitudes are changing. Change is the new constant. Our brother, probably in December, said this. He was from Alabama. I apologize. I do not remember his name. But he said this, that I have quoted. Usually, when I hear something important, I usually take notes. And he said this: things are, in this world, things are not falling apart. No. They are falling into place. I quote, okay? This is not my idea. I'm just quoting. So we can say, from this we can say that, because this is the, you know, the idea from the Bible, of course. But we see that this world is in the right way towards destruction. Perfect track towards this destruction. But we had a professor who said, when there is a but, there is a problem. But Jesus is our solid rock. He is the same from everlasting to everlasting. He is all in all. And guess what? Actually, his immutability changes everything. So he is unchanging, but he is able to change everything. He is able to turn lives around today, now as we speak. In this ever-changing world, we have a never-changing God. We don't need to keep up with him. He is the same. And now, dear brothers and sisters, because Jesus is the same, because Jesus is unchanging, his love will never fail us. Here we are again today. Because of his love, we are here. We are still breathing because of his love. Actually, I have a problem with this. It's not about his love. It's about love. Because he is love. It's not his love. It's he is love. He is the source of love. His care will never stop because he is unchanging. That's why in the same letter we read, I will never leave you or forsake you. You know what? This world doesn't need change because if change was the answer, or reformations, or you know, other worldly things, the world would have reached perfection long ago. We have had enough changes, enough reformations, enough leaders who have, you know, tried hard to do good things and change the world. But still, the world is not perfect. So change is not the answer. Jesus is the answer. What this world so desperately needs is Jesus. I haven't heard anybody except, you know, God's people say that what we need, the change that we really need, is a change of our heart. The change starts here. And here. The change starts when we repent. The change starts when we bow our heads towards His Majesty. The change starts when we kneel down towards His glory. And we say, well, God, I am a sinner. If lives change, the world will change. You know, when earthquake happens, or because I remember that from Turkey and other natural disasters, where is God? Why did God allow this and that and that? In a way, why doesn't he change? Well, I have good news for you today. God will never change, whatever you do. He's already perfect. That's why we are looking for change, because we know it in ourselves that we are not perfect, and that's why we want to change. But God doesn't need to change because he is already perfect. We need to change, not him. Because, brothers and sisters, because Jesus is the same, his promises do not change. His promise for salvation is still relevant today. His promise for eternal life is the same. Now, we know each other, more or less. And maybe when I see faces here, maybe I don't recognize you all, or maybe I don't know you all. But I had God put me something in my heart to tell you. That if you are someone who have come here today for the first time, or, you know, several times, but for some reason you have not been able to make the life-changing decision of accepting Jesus in your life, if, dear friend, you are in two minds for some reason, do you know what the Bible says? This book says this. Today is the day of salvation. So today, if you are hearing his voice, not my voice, but his voice, do not harden your heart. Give some room for Jesus. You know why? Because he is able to turn your life upside down, He's able to turn your life around. No matter who you are, no matter where you come from, no matter the color of your skin, no matter your academic level, no matter your cultural background, God loves you more than you can imagine. This is the truth, and I have a responsibility to say that. God loves you no matter who you are or no matter what you might have done on this earth. Bible asks also, my dear friend, asks another question. Says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? There is no way, my dear friend. God will never change. It's you and me who needs to change. By asking that question, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? He's saying that, well, I'm sorry, for heaven there is no other way except Jesus, the unchanging God. And also the Bible says this, believe in him, put your belief, your trust in him, and you will be saved. It's not you might. It's not, well, there are high chances that you might go to heaven. No, my dear friend, because God is the sovereign of all, and if he says so, it is so. Believe, and you will be saved. You know, my dear friend, I know your job and my job are important. Our families are important. Our passions are important. Our bank account is so important. But do you know that Jesus overrides them all? So Jesus, my friend, is more important than you, than your life. We hold our life as if our life is, you know, the most important thing that exists. Well, Jesus is more important than your life and my life. Keep this in mind. Our life is today and may be gone forever tomorrow. Our life is just a vapor. Jesus is more important than your life and my life. You know what amazes me? Maybe you have never heard this before, or maybe I've told to someone, I don't know. There are no bureaucracies with God. Bureaucracies with God. We live in the world of forms. Fill a form, fill out forms here, there, everywhere. Maybe some of them are important, but you know, I just don't like them. But it's red tape everywhere. No need for down payments with God. Just this. Just, you know, a broken down heart, a repented heart. It's enough for him. Kneels, bow down, that's all. No forms to fill out and the signature at the bottom. No need with that with God. You know, oh, it gives such a relief in this world we live today. It's such a relief to know that God doesn't need, you know, bureaucracies. Because our God is the same and will never change, his faithfulness is the same. And I think, dear brothers and sisters, our lives are a living testimony to this, that God is faithful. Our lives are not the same from compared to before we believed. The food in our tables every day and in our fridges is an indicator of his faithfulness, even though sometimes we take them for granted. his church continues to praise him again. And this is a sign of his faithfulness. Our life stories tell about his faithfulness. Because Jesus is the same eternally, his word is the same eternally. We do not need to add anything else to this word. It's enough. I know that in the past, maybe even present, are attempts to just to modify it a bit. His word doesn't change because we have a guarantee that he does not change. So we are talking about his personality today. His character, his personality never change. God says what he does. In this book, he says what he does. He says what he is able also to do. And he also does what he says. I know that there are some parts which I don't have them today, but there are some parts in the passage that say that, okay, God changed mind in that and in some, you know, specific situations. It's true, okay? But it's not about that. He may change mind for a good reason, but they all fall within the same scope of unchanging character and personality. That's why we rely on him. Because he does not arbitrarily change his character. We do not need, it's very relieving to our bones to know that we do not need to keep up with him. Because he's always the same. The circumstances, our circumstances will change, are changing every day. But he is not. So in the times of Old Testament and in the times of Jesus or later first century, etc., they had the same book, even though there were different contexts. Today, 2023, we have the same book, even though our world has gone, you know, has completely transformed. The same book, the same word. I'm late? Okay, I'm sorry. So, as a conclusion, dear brothers and sisters, Jesus, as it is described in the letter of in the Epistle of Hebrews, is the ultimate revelation and sacrifice of God. The ultimate. No need for it to be repeated like the lambs of, you know, like the blood of lambs that sprinkled, you know, the people or the place or bulls or burnt offerings, etc., sacrifices. His blood was shed once for all, and no need for other sacrifices to purge or clean our sins. In this evil world that we are living, we have him as the anchor of our lives, as the anchor of our souls. He is the same eternally. Our lives are built on him. He is the real flawless lamb, the real one. And I really mean it, but we don't need, there are no bureaucracies with him. And his immutability for all of us gives security, gives reliability for everyone. His immutability is so critical for our lives. And this is the thing that I wanted, the only thing I wanted to leave with you today. In order to lift his name up, to praise him, to glorify him here in the midst of his people, and in turn our lives to be blessed and our lives to be motivated and encouraged. And to start another week tomorrow by knowing that whatever might happen around me, he is there unchanging and unchangeable. I want to pray and just to praise him and, you know, lift his name up. God, I want to thank you more than words can say about your Jesus, about the flawless Lamb that died for someone like me. It's so comforting, oh God, to know that you never change. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And in Jesus' name, I thank you. Amen. And also, I am told to say that the meeting is dismissed.
Thank you, brother, for your message.
Have a good week, everyone.
You too.